Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
Hi, I'm Anthony Michieri Thomas. The man next to me is Kevin Z. Castle.
What's up, man? Oh, dude, I'm feeling great. I lost 197 pounds in 4 weeks.
Jesus Christ.
I now weigh 46 pounds, and I have not looked this good since I'm five. Oh, I'm telling shit. You. I'm actually wearing a shirt when I was five, 1974.
What are you
trying? It's a Mighty Mouse shirt. It's amazing.
Trying to fit into Alexa Bliss's swimsuit or something? Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Nutrisystem.
Weight Watchers, way to go.
I weigh 46 pounds now.
I now have an eating disorder, but I look great.
I am so gaunt, it's sick, but I feel great. My cheeks are sunken in like a treasure chest, but I look fantastic.
Are you a beach goer?
I haven't been to the beach since 1990. I got a compliment on my Dr. Feelgood shirt that I was wearing on the beach. It was Motley Crue. It was tearing up the charts back then. I know some of you guys in the chat weren't alive.
Everybody was listening to Warrant.
Dude, on the beach, every 5 seconds, yo, Motley Crue, like fucking thumbs up. We were thumbs up at each other. We were doing like the guns, like the head, like the Cactus Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was great, man. It was like a lot of, yeah, 1990. Who knew 1 year later, grunge would just wipe us out? Like, who knew? I was on that beach in 1990 feeling good about liking Warrant, feeling good about my Cinderella denim jacket. 1 year later, Kurt Cobain killed us all.
Yeah.
And ironically, he died in 94.
Yeah. So. Yeah, ironically.
Ironically. Yeah, some of you guys weren't alive.
I know.
You were like a small child back then. Jack Frost was two. But Jack, let me ask you, were you like the best two you could have been back then? Were you the best? Were you living your best life? At two.
At two. Jesus Christ.
Imagine a three-year-old going up to you, go, I'm living my best life.
God damn,
I can't wipe my ass yet, but I'm living my best life.
Yeah, 1990. It wasn't much going on.
Yeah, Warrior beat Hogan. Warrior was champ.
That's right. That was the WWAF days.
Yeah. That was so. Yeah. I mean,
shit. That was when I first discovered WCW. Actually, is about 1990, because that was when I used to take trips out to Indiana and stuff like that. And my cousins didn't watch WWF, so whenever we went over to their place out in Indiana, I'd only watch WCW. That's all they watched. WCW.
Oh, really?
All the fucking time. Yeah, no, it was really a night and day service for me. Because we had WCW in Chicago, but you had to watch it on the high UHF channels. Like, you had to watch it on channel 66 and shit like that, you know?
I would have thought Midwest was obviously AWA territory up until AWA folded, right? Do you remember watching AWA did you ever get to watch it? Like
my aunt had it on before, like I've seen it, but I couldn't tell you one match that I watched live as it happened. Like, my aunt is the one that got me into wrestling. I told that story a few times, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. But when Hogan was there in the early 80s, you were just like,
oh yeah,
you
know, I was
a single digits.
Right. Remember? Right. I was just a little fucking shit kicker, you know,
just a little mish, right?
Yeah, I was just ish.
You were just ish. You weren't even M yet.
Yeah.
They didn't even put an M on it yet.
Yeah, but no, I really didn't get to experience the AWA stuff. You know, she got me into WWF, but it wasn't until about 90 when we started really going out to Indiana to see, you know, my cousins and stuff like that, that all they introduced me to was just WCW.
And that was when the Steiners and Doom were there and stuff like that, right? And Robin Green Woman was managing Doom
and stuff. And a lot of no names. Holy shit. A lot of mullets. Yes. A lot of fucking mullets.
Oh, there was guys like Davey Rich. Yeah. And, you know, guys like Davey Rich. Yeah, Tommy Rich's cousin was there and stuff. Yeah, there was a 1990. I didn't mind those. Skyscrapers were there in 90.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild to look back on that shit. How young were you when you first got into it? Because I know you and your brother were lifelong fans, but like, what was your earliest memory of getting into it?
Dude, today is the anniversary. Actually, I just posted on Twitter. It's ironic. I don't think you saw it because I posted before I went on the show. This week, it's not today, but it's this week, 1979, May 1979, this week, 43 years now I'm into wrestling. First time I watched wrestling, midnight WOR TV channel 9 here in New York, And Bob Backlund was the first guy I saw doing an interview with Vince McMahon at ringside.
Nice.
Bruno Sammartino was doing the commentary. That was before Pat Patterson took over, and they switched off here and there. And first guy I saw in the ring was a guy named Dick the Bulldog Brower. I don't even know if anybody here in the chat would even know who that was. Jeez. But it was Bulldog Brower. He was kind of like a George Steele, but not really. George Steele without the hair on his back. And he was Bulldog. He'd make like these crazy faces like Bulldog Brower. And there was guys like Rene Goulet, Dominic DiNucci, Johnny Rods, Jose Estrada, job guys. Ivan Putski was there. Ivan Putski had just changed his physique. He had been like a big kind of fat kind of guy.
Yeah,
and he came back all diesel and cut up. He changed his body completely. He was teaming with Tito Santana at the time. So yes, 1979, 43 years now. I've been an unwavering fan. Never took a break, never took 2 years off from watching wrestling, didn't watch it anymore. Even if my brother did, admittedly, my brother tell you there were periods in time he didn't watch it. But I never did. I never stopped. Even during the Jeff Jarrett Double J years, which I was almost turned off to. Almost tuned out in 95. I almost did. But no, unwavering. Next to being a Mets fan and an Elvis fan are two things I've never changed in my life.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, I wish I was that loyal to women in my life.
Well, I mean, then you would have been married by now, Kev.
There's so much vagina out there, though. Just so much. Yeah, you don't want to go vagulous too long. But seriously, 43 years. Yeah, this week. So it's ironic. We didn't set that up or anything. You just said that. It was interesting because I just posted something like that on Twitter.
Nice.
43 years. Yeah, it's a long fucking time, man. It's several lifetimes.
Meltzer was the first one to come out and talk about a series that myself and you have talked about with some of the episodes. Dark Side of the Ring being canceled, according to Dave Meltzer. But apparently Vice TV came back and said, no, it's not. So we're at a weird standstill right now to know who, well, I mean, not really. I just assume that Dave Meltzer got it wrong, but Vice TV denies. they sent a statement, I think the other day, a few days ago, that came out over the weekend that they canceled, obviously that canceled the Dark Side of the Ring series. And they said, we've heard some rumors flying around about season 4 being canceled. We are committed as ever to both the series and the broader Dark Side franchise. Evan and Jason are hard at work making more content that we know our fans of the series will love. Stay tuned. So, I don't know.
Didn't say it wasn't canceled.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's a kind of careful words. They were doing damage control. I'm sure Jason and the other who produces that show told them, listen, you got to put out some because everyone's badgering us. I'm sure they were getting badgered and bombarded with questions. Someone wrote to me yesterday, said, Kev, you might have gotten it wrong. Don't you feel bad? I'm like, I don't give a shit. What am I, Edward R. Murrow? What am I, Geraldo Rivera? I'm not an investigative reporter. I talk about wrestling. If I got it wrong or right, who cares? You know, so, I mean, that show to me is dead in the water. It's just, I've had enough downtrodden and depression. I mean, that's what that show is here's wrestling. Feel bad about liking it. All these guys are dead and are horrible people. Well, there's nothing more to it than that.
It's funny, too, because they actually put out a tweet earlier in the week, too, because there was a lot of people saying, oh, well, that's because Dark Side of the Ring ran out of stories. And so they put out
a
tweet.
Hell no.
I know. They put out a tweet saying, so what kind of episodes would you like to see in the future? Dude, wrestling has not run out of fucking stories to tell easily, you know?
The problem is, Mish, is the low, low numbers they did when they did Bruiser Bedlam. Nobody watched it. I watched it. I was one of 37 people who watched it because I knew who he was because I'm such a fucking savant, idiot savant when it comes to wrestling. I know everybody, every territory guy or whatever. I will embarrass any podcaster in wrestling territory knowledge. I don't have to look up anything. I lived it.
Right.
But and that's not even a brag because that's pretty pathetic that
fact.
I know that. Yeah. But it's the reason why you guys are listening to me now. I got the gig. Certainly wasn't because I fit the suit. But the thing about that is get people who are interesting because ratings, even on Vice, as you know, Mish, do matter to a degree. You have to have more than 116 people watch something or it's not going to fly. They spend thousands of dollars on this shit.
Yeah. You know? But I mean, just like everything else, dude, they have to be aware that certain topics are going to be giant buzzworthy fucking news and other topics are going to be 37 people. That's just how it is, you know?
And you can listen, there's plenty of guys you can do it about. Mike Awesome, there's guys that come to mind, Eddie Gilbert. But even we know who those guys are, but a lot of the modern, not even casual, but even mainstream fans don't know who that is. Right. I mean, I Do one on Jumpin' Joey Maggs, who died at a young age. Who's that? Jobber from WCW. You're talking about jobbers from WCW days that when you were watching, Joey Maggs is one of them.
Yeah.
Like, he died. A lot of people don't even know he's died. Do one on Rick McGraw, the first guy to kick off consistent wrestling deaths in 1985. Rick McGraw, I remember Roddy Piper even went on that HBO thing, claimed WWF killed Rick McGraw. Rick McGraw was on steroids. His heart gave out at 33 years old. Yeah. He was one of my favorite wrestlers. But there was no way somebody should be built like Rick McGraw was in that day and age without doing steroids. But he was one of the first guys to go down in his early 30s from a heart attack out of the blue. No. You know, so there's so many people they can get doing on, but who's going? I'll watch Rick McGraw, but who even here even knows who that is?
But here's the thing, though, too, is maybe it's also a learning experience, too, because it's not just about the people you know when you watch these series. It's about who you don't. Now, right. I am curious if any of these rumors are alluding to, like, maybe a facelift of the show. Because you're right. There's just...
It's too dark.
It's too dark.
Downtrodden. Right. Very downtrodden, yeah. Gangrel was saying on his podcast one time, you know, would it be so horrible to even mix it up and do a bright side of the ring, or people who got out of the business and went on to have a great, successful life? People like, forget just The Rock. What about Trish Stratus? What about people like Sable? What about people, you know, I mean, there was a lot of hype. You know, not everyone went the wayside of Sherry Martel and Elizabeth. There were people who actually did okay. Do a story on Medusa. Look at her great career outside with monster trucks and all that stuff. Like, I mean, even Ken Grill was like, am I delusional here? Can we do a bright side of the ring? And I was like, no, that's actually, dude, that's pretty smart. I even actually wrote him a comment saying, dude, that's not a bad idea. And I doubt that they even broached the subject because they're like, people want to hear good stuff. No, but it's much better to do the negative narrative with wrestling. Look at all the venom and vitriol that goes on Twitter every day, Mish. Even with Mandy Rose, people talk about that tanning thing. Oh, it's a demeanor. It's a throwback to the bad days, the days that we hated. Who said we hated them? I didn't hate those days. What are you talking about? I couldn't wait to see Missy Hyatt in a bikini in 1989. So what are you talking about? So again, I think people just, there's a negative narrative in the community in general, and they just keep piling on it. But there's a lot of success stories for people who left the business. A kind of a different show, but like the opposite of Dark Side of the Ring. Correct. Right. I mean, of the same kind of thing where you do the origins story, so to speak, but there's a good outcome at the end instead of a death or a hanging.
Right.
Or
a murder.
Or a murder.
Overdose.
Or an amputation.
Yeah, Nowinski's actually kind of positive there, Lord
Chris
Bojo.
Nowinski, you know.
I mean, he went on to become like part of the, what was the name of the institute? The one that actually did all the brain scans.
Well, the whole concussion syndrome stuff with the NFL and stuff. He's very responsible. Right. I mean, we can name so many people. Even here in the chat, we can raffle. Yeah, Rick Martel, big real estate broker in Montreal. There's so many, because we go, oh, Dino Bravo. It was like, but what about Rick Martel?
Right.
You know, so you can keep, because we're so trained we're the only group of fans who has to prepare for death on a constant basis.
Sure.
I mean, I don't look at the 86 Mets and go, wow, 14 out of 23 of these guys are dead. It's like, there's like two dead, and they were in their 70s.
Right.
So it's like, you know, that's normal. But I guess someone sells them on. There's no doubt in my mind that people like Conrad and obviously that Bix and Span guy and some of these other people have influence on the subject matter that they do. I think that's why it's a little bit slighted and anti-WWE narrative a little bit, more than a little bit. You're not going to run out of people, but you're going to run out of top names. Like even a Mike Awesome. How much ratings would Mike Awesome really do? We all know Mike Awesome. We know him from ECW. I even know him from, I saw him as a job guy in Florida in 87 when Al Perez gave him the helicopter and dumped him on his head as a job guy.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he wasn't that successful in the business. So how good of a rating would that be? Mike Awesome. Eddie Gilbert. You know Eddie Gilbert, Mitch, but do you really know a lot about Eddie Gilbert?
No, I don't.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like Tracy Smother, all these guys were dead. There's so many of them. But can anybody, or even you, Mitch, even off the top of your head, think of a major superstar that they haven't done yet? I'd have to really think about that. I can name a lot of journeymen and mid-carders, but they're not top guys. They can do, Doink. What's his name? Matt Bourne. Someone else was saying, who's the other one?
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, Crash Holly, but who remembers? today's day and age fan, did they remember Crash Holly?
Yeah. But that's the thing is like, well, a lot of these guys, I'm surprised half the audience today even recognizes who they are.
Yeah. I mean, Steve Bradley, a big fan, died in his car. You know, I trained.
Sonny would probably be the big one. I mean, if you were going to headline another season, Sonny's, and obviously not her demise because it doesn't always have to end up with death, but Jesus Christ, her current predicament.
Oh, she's perfect for that series. I mean, that would be something. That would be interesting. That would be interesting.
You don't even have to show exactly where she's at the moment. You just show everything that leads up to it. And this is where she's at. Like, it's just, it screams an episode of that stuff. But no, you're right. There's a lot.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
And the boys at Alleged Wrestling Podcast sent me a care package from Ireland. And I have the stuff. It was Tato chips. The one thing that I think myself and Tink were, and like, I want to do a full review. I want to go on their show and talk to them about this shit. But I got to say something. Tato brand Tato chips or crisps are probably the best fucking potato chip I've ever had.
Wow.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, we got Lay's. Chicago's is a Lay's town, right?
Yeah.
But Irish people know their potatoes.
Listen to the Alleged Wrestling Podcast every Friday live at 2:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And check out their gaming streams on Twitch. Subscribe to the Alleged Wrestling Podcast on WrestlingSoup.com.
Tato brand Tato chips or crisps are probably the best fucking potato chip I've ever had.
You're welcome, Ireland.
Flipping it over to another thing, you know, something we didn't get a chance to talk about because it literally happened on, was like Thursday night. WWE released a ton of NXT guys. They released Dakota Kai, Harland, Dexter Lumis, Malcolm Bivens, Persia Parada, Draco Anthony, and referee Blair Baldwin. And I think Roderick Strong is also on that list because he's trying to get his release now because I think he wants to go with Malcolm
Bivens. But he was on last night, though. He made an appearance last night.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that, but he's the one saying that he wants to leave. So maybe he wants to go with Malcolm Bivens. I don't know. But now that we've gotten rid of a bunch of these people, like obviously the rumor is that WWE is going to continue the bus flip coming soon for the main roster too, you know?
The Harlan was really surprising to me. They gave up so quickly on a 23, 24-year-old who had, I thought, great upside. You know, and he's got a real celebrity type of thing going on. He seems to be friends with a lot of big football players and rappers. And, you know, he's always a front seat at the basketball games and, like, you know, and he's not a really known guy. I mean, he's a high school athlete who had more popularity in that format. They said he wasn't progressing or whatever, but Joe Gacy is literally naked without him. The character of Joe Gacy, I mean, we can talk about NXT, of course, if you want. Not even trying to segue too quick into that. But it's not the same. He needs a henchman. I thought Holland was perfect. I don't know. Maybe there was some behind-the-scenes attitude, quote-unquote, problems. But giving up on that kid so quickly, he only debuted not even 10 months ago.
I wondered,
why'd they give up on this kid so quick?
Yeah, I mean, even Jason had that kind of standpoint. I was thinking, do you think it's more along the lines of they want to let him go for a little while and then bring him back to see if he's seasoned? Because WWE's done that before, too. If you leave WWE, it's not the end of the fucking world.
Yeah, it's not McIntyre the end of the road. Approved it, yeah.
Right, well, a lot of guys.
The template of it. Yeah, a lot of guys.
Jomo's come back, what, three fucking times? So
Jinder Mahal, yeah. You know.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, do you think that maybe they want Harlan to go, get a little seasoning on the independents, maybe, you know, cut his own teeth and then come back and they sign him up for a little bit more, for a little extra scratch?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think there is more to the Harlan thing. He was the most shocking to me. I was definitely surprised. I would probably say next that Dakota Kai didn't surprise me. She's cute. I think she's very cute. But she's just never really connected. You know, connecting with we talk about 137 people of the fans in that little NXT thing. But you put her in the main roster. I don't see anybody really. She doesn't have that kind of charisma. She doesn't have that kind of oomph. You know, she doesn't have that kind of fire.
Right.
I don't see that. You know, she would just be lost in the shuffle. It's probably better to cut her and let her go somewhere else. And everybody, Dexter Lumis, a guy I really enjoyed.
That's an interesting one.
He could have been any. I mean, a killer heel or a comic babyface. He could have went either way. I mean, I enjoyed that wedding segment that they had last year. Was one of the most enjoyable
things I saw
all year in wrestling. I loved it. I watched it like five times.
Yeah, the Indy Hartwell now doesn't have Persia Parada, who is her friend, Dexter Lumis, who is her husband. So it's kind of like, I'm wondering if they're going to let her go, if they're just going to keep Indy around for a while. You know?
I don't know. But yeah, Dexter Lumis, he is 39 years old. He's 38 years old. He's up there. I don't know if it's an age thing with him, because, you know, Dexter always kept himself in great shape. He was always ready to go. I follow him on Instagram. He looked like he's, you know, use me, put me in, coach, I'm ready. But unfortunately, he's not a talker. They're not going to let him talk. He doesn't have the LA Knight charisma.
But he didn't need to, though. That was his whole gimmick, was he didn't talk.
Dude, why not put him in the Edge, get fucking Damian Priest crew?
Sure.
Like, why not have him be the hench? Because Damian Priest is going for titles. He's not going to be the henchman. Let Dexter Lumis be that guy.
Right.
You know, let him be the heavy. Let him go out and beat the shit out of people for Edge. I don't know. Maybe that was even...
But that's,
that was even poised. But
that's
no
what's
one...
even more impressive about this guy, though. For the fact that this guy got himself over by not saying a fucking word. Honestly, I was very confused when they let go of Lumis. Lumis is the one that really surprised me, because here's a guy whose charisma outshone the ability to just be able to work on the mic. Not being able to talk in wrestling is a handicap. This is an impressive feat from a wrestler that goes, that should prove to WWE and even to the fans that, wow, maybe this guy really is special if he can do shit like this. Wow, this guy can work like this and he can get people invested into his character and want to buy merchandise and want to see the guy every week. Because
he's one of my favorites. I think you can maybe side on the age thing being an excuse from the higher ups, because he certainly was a body guy. Vince likes body guys. Guy's chiseled from stone. The guy's got size. He's over 6 feet. He's over 250, legit. He's got every... I think it might be to 38, 39 years old.
Maurice is asking, like, did they cut them because of, what do you say, bullshit budget cuts or ageist attitude? Well, I think the actual thing that Johnny Ace was supposedly saying was it was all budget cuts. So I don't think that's a straight answer. But no. That's what they're going to say.
Yeah, Lumis and Harlan, they could have found a place for them. All the others that you named, Malcolm Bisson's great talker, but they don't really emphasize managers anymore.
Right, right.
And he didn't want to stay. But Dakota Kai, good hand, as they would say.
Malcolm Bivens, though, let's be honest, he's another guy that the main roster could desperately use.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ, talker. Another person that can talk and has the role of a manager. Look, I mean, I know MVP's been fucking cutting it up for a while, and same with Paul Heyman and shit like that, but there's no reason that you can't have a younger guy as a manager on the main roster.
I agree.
You know? It is what it is. I mean, oh my God, aren't you shocked? I'm like, no. No, I'm not. Oh, WWE is such an evil company for doing this. No, it's all business. We know it's business. It's just sometimes it's difficult to understand what the plans are. Like, that's the whole reason that we do these shows, is we talk and we speculate and we take a look at the talent. We praise what's good and we fucking dog out what's bad. And when you see guys, especially that are, I mean, with Joe Gacy and fucking Harlan, Harlan was his guy. Nobody had a problem with it. I never saw anybody go, you know, Joe Gacy would be a lot better without Harlan. I never saw that. Never fucking saw that.
No.
Nobody ever talks shit about Harlan. They're like, oh, wow, that's a fucking great team up
no,
right there.
No, I never heard anything. You know, people are mentioning, oh, Priest is older than Lumis. Priest has a bigger upside. Look at the guy. The guy looks fantastic. I have a lot of female friends who drool over Damian Priest. So Damian Priest is a good-looking guy. He could be a bad guy or a good guy. He can talk. He's good for the Latin market, right, Mish? You know, sometimes they take that consideration. So there's reasons, guy. It doesn't matter that he's a year older than Dexter Lumis. You're not looking at the big picture.
Right.
He has much more upside than Dexter Lumis as far as a character and what they can do with him down the road goes. And look, we talked about it before. You know, I mean, come on. Damian Priest lost 100 pounds, got himself into fantastic shape. And who were the other? There was someone else released in that crew, too.
There was a bunch of... Performance Center people too. Draco Anthony is the other one.
Draco Anthony, yeah, he was in a little bit of an angle there with Joe Gacy too. So they cut them out too. And I think it affected Joe Gacy's character. Because we can talk about it if you want. The NXT show last night. Did you watch the whole show?
The Druiding? I did not. I did see the big segment, though, where Braun gets pretty much beaten down by the Druids. And
he beat Gacy. I mean, Braun is a great champion. I think he's so still green, and they still need to keep him down here. That's why I'm glad. I didn't really think Joe Gacy was going to win the title. I mean, but, it became uneventful to me. The Druid thing and the people under the cloaks and everything, it's just, I don't know. I'd rather have him have a crew like with Harlan. Maybe they'll give him some other guy. I don't know if this is the end of the feud between the two.
Right.
I'm a big Braun Breaker fan. I think he is the real deal. I just think he doesn't have a lot of competition down there. And he's probably caught between two worlds right now, Braun Breaker, where they want to bring him up.
Sure.
But then maybe someone behind the scenes like, nah, keep him down here. Because he needs more seasoning, obviously. Because people say, oh, he misses some things, he botches some things. He's only a year in. He never was even on the independents.
Right.
You know, so give this guy some wiggle room. But he is a Steiner, and he's got the fire of a Steiner and the
look,
you know,
and size.
Everything, man. He's a Steiner through and through. They couldn't hide that if they tried. And clearly they're not trying to hide it anymore. So.
Crimson Fury's bitching about, and I mean this in a good way, about the Wendy Chu segments. The super soakers and
what you did to
pajamas.
Mandy Rose, trapping Mandy Rhodes in the Mandy Rose in the tanning bed. That was very Final Destination.
Yeah, I mean they've been doing this campy
harmless,
shit for a minute though. They did it with the
harmless shit, you know.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a minute though. They were doing that with Skater Chick, you know, last month. So
Cora Jade, yeah. Listen, she really wasn't going to make it as that old woman character that she was portraying before this. You know, did you guys want to go back to the girl from the who was in the well and
the ring?
Yeah. I want to go back to being in the
ring. Dude, I kind of dug that. I was kind of good with spooky Asian girl. I liked that shit.
You like spooky?
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
She's cute. She's cute, though. I follow her on Instagram. And it's something to do. You want to be on TV. You don't want to be out of that spotlight because then you'll wind up on the fucking Nick Khan cut list.
And no. Dr. Brian Wright reads shit takes from wrestling fans on social media.
Huh, this is from Mr. Braun Strowman, replying to, I believe, a Tony Khan tweet. This is the same guy that pays the dirt sheets and says his wrestlers are free to do whatever, but blackballed them from sin shows. Why? Because we're a fucking threat. Mr. JD from NY206. Wheeler Yuta is a made man in AEW. After the last 2 weeks, he's been booked better than any current WWE star, minus Reigns and Lesnar, that has been on TV in the last 12 months. This match was epitome of how to make a new star.
Catch more shit takes by Brian Wright on WrestlingSoup.com.
A little despondent about it, but we got other things to talk about as well. Cody teasing bringing back the original WWE winged belt if he becomes champ.
Oh, nice.
Do you think anybody would even recognize that belt? Do you think people even understand what seeing the old winged belt means?
I would hope so, but I'm starting to lose faith. And like majority of the wrestling fans on social media, from what I see, it just seems that they stop at the Attitude Era and don't go anywhere before that. They know a little bit about Savage and Warrior and stuff like that, but not enough, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, for us old codgers and some of the young guys who are old codgers at heart, yeah. We would love it. I mean, we get the significance of it. Other podcasters, I would hope, get the significance of it. So he's the Dusty Rhodes references. Obviously, did you see the thing the other day where he gave that hat with the turkey foot on the black hat to Corey Graves? Did you see that thing?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, remember Dusty wore that in the Survivor Series, that hat? And Corey Graves got it as a gift from Cody Rhodes. They did a segment. It's on YouTube. You can watch it where he gives him the hat. He got it from his mom's house. And he gave it to Corey Graves.
Shit, that's
fucking awesome. Why he gave it to Corey Graves. I don't know if it was. I think it was a wedding gift or something like that. Like, because Corey just got married. They're friends. They came up together.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't realize how long Corey Graves has been around.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, that was kind of cool. So he's bringing back the Dusty nostalgia and this stuff. So yeah, I mean, Cody Rhodes, I think, always was about this. I mean, how do you hide from that? You're Dusty Rhodes' son.
Well,
that's
what he was also on the After the Bell with Corey Graves in that interview with him and Vic Joseph and stuff like that. He even brought it up that it was Matt Cardona that actually got him to go back to WWE. He said he was in that very small circle of people that when this initially was brought to me to know, I told him everything, every detail, everything. Cody said, noting that he was surprised that Vic didn't know beforehand since he's big friends with the Stooge. Right. Apparently, Cody said that Cardona was all for him going back to WWE. While he's expecting him to say, don't do it or go the other way, Cardona's the one that told him, that's the ultimate undeniable. Come back and land in the fashion that you did. And so obviously we've seen that being positive advice. Cody's been doing nothing but well since he's come back to WWE. And it doesn't seem like the steam is going off anytime soon.
No, I think he's doing okay. I'm monitoring this. I'm monitoring the situation too with Cody. I'm seeing some towns are better than others, like Buffalo. We got a pretty rousing over. North Carolina was a little tepid for everybody. I didn't think North Carolina was that hyped for wrestling. Wasn't as good. Buffalo was better. Buffalo was a better crowd the week before. But Cody's in the spotlight so far, so good as far as how they're booking him post WrestleMania. He's they didn't feature too much of him this past Monday night. I know he came out during the Rollins segment, which was kind of funny. He wasn't, he didn't do three appearances. So that, which is a little much, with the fireworks two or three times throughout the night. That's a little much.
Yeah. North Carolina really felt like a throwback audience. And I think there was a bit of confusion, almost like they don't watch WWE on the regular. It was weird.
Possibly. Someone was saying that, because someone was not arguing with me, but debating me about the whole casual fan thing.
Oh, God.
He's like, would you call casual fans someone who got free tickets and said, fuck it, let's just go to wrestling? But listen, they do that with hockey, basketball.
Yeah.
These people, fuck it, let's go, let's just go to, a soccer game. I know there's a lot of fuck it, let's just go fans, right?
Right.
That's what we call them, fuck it, let's just go, right, Mitch?
Yeah. And I mean, that doesn't even technically make them a casual fan. If, if you never watch baseball and somebody said, hey, Kev, I got a couple extra tickets for baseball, what are you doing tonight? And you're like, man, nothing, I'll go. That doesn't make you a fan.
That's more people, by the way, than you think.
Right.
That do those off the cuff things. Someone at work, hey, I got tickets tonight.
Oh my God, dude! My old
never
job.
Never been to a hockey game, right?
My
never
old job would have baseball week, and what they would do is they would literally give they'd like buy an entire section at fucking Wrigley Field or something like that, and it's like they would hand out these Xerox copied tickets. And you'd go there, and that's how you would get in. It's like everybody had a fucking ticket. It was expected that this area was for your job. And people that showed up, or they didn't. This happens all the fucking time. You're dead on about that. I don't know. When it comes to the casual fans, I think you absolutely need them to grow. I don't know how you looked at it, because, I mean, obviously I did that last week's episode where we kind of talked about that article that came out of VOW. I don't know if you listened to that or not, but it was very much an AEW stance against casual fans. They don't want casual fans.
Oh, yeah. No, I did. I did see that.
It was,
they don't want, they're content with what they got.
Yeah. They want to grow, but they don't want casual fans to grow. That's the whole thing.
If they're waiting for AEW fans to have sex and reproduce children, they're going to be waiting a long time.
Jesus Christ. I mean, there's only one woman per 40, so,
Oh, my God. Sex? What's that?
Oh, shit. No, but it comes from this weird idea that all of a sudden, all these NJPW fans will all of a sudden turn into AEW. It's like, no. If there's NJPW fans in the States, they already know who the fuck AEW is. Come on.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's true. It's so weird to me. It's like a band saying, yeah, we're content with our fan, but we don't want any new fans. We don't want you. It's just bizarre to me. It's just so bizarre. It's the complete opposite of business logic.
Yeah.
To not want growth. People say organically. Well, what does it really matter how people come on board to watch something?
Right.
Or get into something.
They don't want to waste the time explaining who all the new wrestlers are there, Kev. That it was.
it's a lot of work explaining.
What do you mean you don't know about Wheeler, Utah?
Wheeler, Utah. Oh, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't know about Wheeler, Utah. And I do the fucking wrestling podcast. I had to look him up. But yeah, I think that it doesn't matter which way you get there, as long as you get there. That's always been my philosophy.
Sure.
Like, in the music scene, that goes on too. I've been into this band since day one of their first rehearsal. It's like, okay, so you're a better fan than the person who came along after their first album. What does that matter? It's almost like these self high five props that you give yourself to being a better fan or a smarter fan. And as you know, that goes on a lot in the wrestling community. I'm smarter than you because I can leave a bunch of emojis with laughing symbols. So that means I won this argument. You really didn't, but whatever floats your boat.
Right. Well, that's the problem too, is that there's a lot of that gatekeeping style of the fan base, which obviously turns away new fans. So it's like you need casual fans to grow. And casual fans are a mark of growth. They're the people that essentially, like when you said with bands, they're the people that heard a song and went, oh, who the fuck did that? Let me listen to the album. You know, that's literally what casual fans are for wrestling. Oh, who's that in the, who, oh, is that where CM Punk went? Oh, shit, I haven't seen him in a while. What's he doing now? He's in AEW, huh? No, we don't want you, WWE fan. You know, it's like, Jesus.
Yeah, it's the I'm cooler than you thing when nobody in the room is cool is always weird to me.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, guys, you're not cool. Who told you you're cool?
Yeah. Well, who told you wrestling is cool? Get the
fuck. I got five thumbs up on that comment. Clearly, I'm cool. look at the people who gave you the thumbs up. Half of them don't have a picture. Well, half of them have a picture of Casper.
Not to be outdone, though. Because clearly they don't want more fans. But there's a new AEW show coming out to TBS. And apparently there was Warner Media threw out a survey to subscribers with several names in contention for the brand new show. The show is described as ushering in a new behind-the-scenes wrestling series like no other. Wow. Didn't TNA do that? Didn't TNA do a behind-the-scenes show that ended up horrendously fucking ignored? It was bad. But anyways, where every episode tracks the core cast on the road at AEW events as they try to hold on to the titles they have or win back the ones that they've lost. They all hope to walk away as champions, but there aren't enough belts for everybody. Heroes will rise, villains will fall, and champions will be crowned. And with more access, more star talent, and more drama than ever before, we'll see it all through the eyes of the biggest names in the company.
What time is it on so I know when to miss it?
3:30 on Sunday morning. The names that they have is AEW. Friends and Enemies.
Yeah.
AEW Fight to the Finish. AEW To the Mat. AEW To the Top. AEW Road to the Belt. AEW Breakout. AEW Grit and Glory. AEW All Access. AEW The Climb. AEW On the Ropes, or AEW Uprise.
I like the other option that you didn't name, AEW Suck a Cock. Well, that's a good one. They're all horrible names. I mean, it's all corny. Awful. I feel like it's like Saved by the Bell kind of shit. I mean, seriously, it's like, did you say Learning the Ropes? So the ropes. Was that a TV show in the 80s?
Who thought that Friends and Enemies? Who wants to watch a wrestling show called Friends and Enemies?
Oh, God. Suck a Cock, though, could be a show that I might watch. Did you guys watch a show called AEW?
Britt Baker's on every episode, guys. I don't know what's going on here. Jesus
Christ. Penelope Ford featured this week. It sounds horrible to me. It sounds so uncool is the best way I could describe it. I don't know. What channel is that going to be on?
Oh, no, it's TBS. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, it's going to be on TBS?
Yeah, it's another TBS show. See, now my question is this going to take away AEW Dark, or are they just going to add a fourth show to the week?
Oh, God. They barely need a first show.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, technically it would be four shows, right?
It would be four shows, yeah. And then maybe one of those shows will acknowledge Thunder Rosa as the champion.
Oh, well, one of them will. Oh, maybe Sucker Kong.
Thunder Rosa. Sucker
Kong. Oh, shit. That's right. There's five shows. Crimson Fury, you're right. That would make it five shows because I keep forgetting about Dark Elevator. Fuck.
What was the guy from Dark Order they just released? Or they let him go? They didn't resign. Oh, Stu Grayson. Stu Grayson.
Yeah.
Stu Grayson. So Stu Grayson will not be on Sucker Kong.
Five episodes a week of AEW. Like,
suck a god. I like that one. That's good, Iraq. Yeah, no. Who's calling for this? What demand is there for this? You know, if there's no demand for new WWE programming, why would there be demand for AEW? Does less ratings? Doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
There's no business logic in that at all. So, and who's going to be on these shows? They're not re-signing a lot of their lower card talent. Who's going to be on these shows?
I don't even understand how they would do it. Yeah. I mean, unless it's going to be all local talent, you know,
it could be local. I don't know. Maybe it will be local talent.
What was the TNA show that they did where they were doing the behind the scenes stuff for a while there? I remember me and Joe made bits about it with Jeff TNA, Hardy and stuff like that.
Reaction. Was it
Reaction?
Called?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Richard.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah.
That was awful.
God, those shows seem like a lifetime ago.
That literally sounds like the same fucking thing that they're trying to do with TBS with this new one. Behind the scenes like never before. You mean like not since 10 years ago or so? Yeah.
Yeah. I, if there's no demand for it, I don't understand the adding of programming. Usually you add things when there's a demand for it. Am I wrong about that?
Right.
You know?
Dude, I mean, there was already people throwing up. I don't know if you saw those too. Was that the, what was it, Dynamite's numbers compared to the Big Bang Theory numbers that were there beforehand?
Can't even compare. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Can't even
crazy.
Compare. The Big Bang Theory does those big numbers.
Right. And that was, it was already the fucking syndication too.
Nope. Singa.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Sometimes I look at this company and it's like, look, As many positives as people want to pull out of it, there's just so many things that are just cringy and wrong, you know? Like, do you really need five shows a week? Like, I feel bad for the diehard fans. Can I honestly say that? I'm going to go out on a ledge here, Kev. I'm going to say I genuinely feel bad for the diehard AEW fans that are going to have to watch five episodes of just AEW a week.
I'm sure there is a contingency of fans that live and breathe AEW. I know that there are.
Oh, they're absolutely.
You know, and they're all people that I don't like.
Yeah.
But I, as much as I'm into wrestling, and again, 43 years as a fan, never wavered, never left it. I can only take so much myself.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the age or I'm grumpy, I'm older. If I was 15, I probably would feel overwhelmed.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I loved watching wrestling, but it was fun to look forward to something. Every night having a different show on to watch, a little daunting. And plus, you know, it was much more of a lot of things to do back in the 80s and 90s, you know, not sit home and be on a computer and your phone all day and night. So, it's access in an instant that's convenient, obviously. But I think, overwhelming people with too much is too much. And I think it goes for wrestling. It goes for anything. It goes for loud music. It's like me. Everyone's, you must listen to heavy metal. I can't listen to heavy metal at all when I'm not at work. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Listen to the doo-wop 50s stuff because I can't. You know, I need a break. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I need a
break.
Not just because, again, it's not age. It has to do with annoyance. It gets, after a while, even things you love, you know this, Mish, with people. People get on your nerves. You need a little break, just like you need a little break sometimes from even things you are passionate about.
Jesus, I totally forgot about this, though, too. Exactly. They might have six shows a week.
Six shows a week?
Well, the ROH deal officially closed today or yesterday. It officially closed yesterday. And then the idea of bringing in the ROH titles and an ROH show branded by AEW. I mean, what the fuck are they doing over there?
Yeah.
Could you imagine just another show? It would be six AEW-based shows a week.
Well, it would be, right. Yeah, it's too much. If you can do that, but as much as no one was a bigger fan than me, But even back in those days, I would Saturday, Sunday, WWF, Monday night, I'd watch Florida wrestling. And that was pretty much it. I would Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, nothing. But this was back in the 80s, you know.
Yeah.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday were my wrestling days. And then Tuesday through Thursday, nothing.
Right.
You know, and well, I needed that.
Or back then, what we would do is we had this old machine called a VCR, and we would record this shit and watch
it. That's true. The invention of the VCR.
Wow.
But there's not enough. There are, again, there's a portion of fans who will watch all this stuff, but is it enough to justify doing it?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, right? It's like everyone likes a certain drink. Even in bars, sometimes bars dead drinks that they don't really sell anymore. And someone come in, oh, we don't have the ingredients for that. We don't make that. Yeah. Because not enough people get it, you know? So, I mean, people kind of dead shit of stuff that doesn't sell. You know what I mean?
How long do you think this is going to last before this bubble bursts? Like, I know we talk about this every year. It seems like we talk about, well, what's AEW going to do? How long is it going to last? I think last year somebody asked me, how long will it last, Mish? And everybody was giving their answers. And I think I said, like, under 5 years. Do you think that this bubble's not going to pop sooner than later?
I don't know. It depends on how young is Tony Khan. How long can his heart hold out with the cocaine? How old was Herb Abrams when he passed?
So what you're saying is we're going to find Tony Khan butt naked hanging out of the Las Vegas window.
Let me go to the chat room. Chat room, how old was Herb Abrams when he passed away? And how old is Tony Khan now? Jeez. Not to be cryptic or morbid or anything. Does anybody have the actual age of Herb Abrams? It's funny that I'm not going to listen. Everyone's got these ideas come out of the air. These things are said.
Yeah.
But it's funny that a lot of people now do the split comparisons. You've seen it on Twitter and Instagram of the Herb Abrams, Tony Khan comparisons of the kind of the jittery cokehead kind of thing. 41 he was, Crimson. Was 41 when he died, Herb Abrams.
Yeah, how
old is Tony Khan now? How old is Tony Khan now? 34?
39?
35? Tony Khan has got to be 35, right?
All right, let's look at
maybe older.
39, yeah. It's 39.
Wow.
So Tony Khan only has about a year left.
He's got two more years. That's so morbid.
Not even years. Because when did Herb Abrams die? Like, what was the date?
Herb Abrams died at age 41, they're saying.
Yeah.
And then 96, Herb Abrams died? 96? I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm not too accurate on the death day. Someone can look it up.
No, they're looking at Herb Abrams. Oh, yeah. Okay, hold on. Let me see when he died.
Let's see.
July. Oh, yeah. So, no. Tony Khan's only got 1 year left.
He's got 1 year
left. He's got 1 year left.
Remember that scene in Anchorman 2? When Will Farrell's in the truck with the other guy, and he's thinking he's going to die in a couple of years. He goes, you got 3 years. Tony Khan's got 1 year. You got 12
months. 1 year.
Done. Yeah, I don't. I mean, listen, I don't obviously don't wish anything
we're
bad.
We're joking. But
he's too. Yeah, we're joking around. We're going the ha-ha route here. But I don't know. I don't know as long as because, oh, and people will fight with me with this. He's got money to burn. He does. They got so much money. He's more rich than Vince McMahon. That's not a reason to keep a company around that's losing money.
I love that's people's ideas. Because rich people love to lose money. That's how they stay rich. They just randomly lose money for years at a time. I'm like, you guys are fucking idiots. Jesus Christ.
Well, do you remember in the early days of Soup and DTKC, there would be that narrative of Panda, TNA. They don't mind losing money. Like, they don't mind losing money. They don't care. Panda, they don't care. Like, people would, like, write in. We would have that whole thing about TNA was making no money. And some of the fans would fire back, like, they'd die hard, like, Army. Would be like, you guys are so stupid. Like, remember on the old, social media before this one, the platforms, like the old fucking group pages that we had.
People,
you guys are so, TNA doesn't care. You guys don't even know what you're talking about. Panda Energy's got plenty of money. Like, no one runs where did you take business?
Right.
I've never heard of that.
They don't.
You know,
they just
open up a wrestling fed and fuck it for profit. who does that? That doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense.
I mean,
what happens is you get another buyer and you get someone comes in and saves. Just like what happened to Ring of Honor. You get someone who's a sucker enough to buy it.
During the NFL draft, there were people that posted a picture. I saw one of the pictures of Tony Khan at the draft and he looked miserable. He looked fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't give a shit about the football.
No,
he just wants to care about the AEW. That's it. And it's
I think
shows.
He's checked out. I think he's checked out emotionally on the other projects he's involved with his dad on with the sports teams. I think he's totally checked out. I think he's all about wrestling. I don't think he's about anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like, wait a minute, isn't Jacksonville pretty much allowing you to do this AEW vanity project, this fucking fan project?
Pretty much, yeah. The Jaguars, yeah.
It's so weird, man.
Very weird.
Let's see what else we got to talk about. NXT Breakout Women's Tournament. We'll see how that goes. The ROH stuff.
Santina Morella's daughter, man. I'm all about her.
Yeah, she's cute, man.
Yeah, very cute. Very cute.
More Impact and NXT people at AEW Dark. Jake Something and Leon Ruff were both at A Dark tapings.
Game changer. Let me say it. Game changers.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing, too. That game changer thing that Paul Heyman is working on. They keep talking about that game changer project. So Paul Heyman was writing on social media like about a week ago that he's on a top secret project with A&E Networks since about February. And I guess they're filming in New York. It was likely that the project wouldn't remain so much of a secret anymore, and he was given hints of it. Heyman has teamed up with Ross Hockrow for a, quote, game changer that will most likely disrupt an entire established genre. You can think of all the analogies and adjectives that go with a statement like that, and you'd still be underselling just how good, magnificent, great this is going to turn out. The special counsel to the tribal chief uploaded a photo from the palace. It was from the palace outside the palace theater. Sorry, with the production titled "Outside the Ring." I'm proud of it. No more hints or details. Please enjoy the anticipation. So that's interesting. Paul Heyman being Paul Heyman and doing a project with A&E, who obviously is in bed with WWE for a while. But I don't know why they keep calling it game changer, because it always makes me think it's like, Paul Heyman doing something with GCW?
Game changer.
Because he keeps saying game changer like multiple times. And it's like, how the fuck else are you supposed to interpret that? You know? Wouldn't that be weird? Paul Heyman involved with GCW?
It would be. It would be weird. Yeah. It would be weird. But I was joking the other day, like, because AEW botches that page on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's always the funny clips. All the game changers that are coming through when it was revealed that Roderick Strong would be available. Everybody was jumping on. If he goes to AEW, that's a game changer.
So WrestleMania Backlash is this Sunday. Sadly, not on Saturday. I was kind of hoping it would be. That would have been nice.
Oh, it's on Sunday, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Sunday, not Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of glad about that because I got a benefit thing I have to go to.
Oh, yeah? What's that about?
It's for pit bulls, pit bull rescue.
Oh. You can always talk about that shit on the show. You realize that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure some people like pit bulls.
I'm not going to talk shit about you after you're done talking about pit bulls. Come on now.
Just don't trash me because I'm an animal. Kevin, his love for animals, finger quotes.
No, but I mean, I'd be happy to promote shit like that, dude.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying I'm glad I could watch it live on Sunday because I'm off on Sunday. That's what
right,
I'm saying.
Right.
Oh, no, but I appreciate that. Yeah, yeah. It's called Pinups for Pit Bulls. It's run by this girl, Lulu Lacey, who's known in the punk rock scene. She helped put it together and stuff. Oh. And she does couple times a year and raising money for a pit bull rescue.
I would love to see more of that stuff. I like charity events. Seriously, like personally on a human level, I have no problem supporting charities, Kev. Anytime you want to do some charity stuff, fucking let me know. Seriously.
Okay.
Dead so ass, man.
Excellent.
もうすぐレスリングスープが始まるからいい子にしててね。
Wrestling Soup is the disco puppet soft on the inside. It looks soft. Yes, it's very soft. Bro, this is like a Muppet. It's like a Muppet, bro. This is like a Muppet puppet. It's very, very soft, bro. Very, very soft. Just like disco.
WWE WrestleMania Backlash, May 8th. Obviously, it's Providence, Rhode Island at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. Oh, they're going to have to change that soon.
Nice.
It's going to have to be just the Dunkin' Center because didn't they get rid of the name Donuts? It's just the.
Did they get rid of? Oh, they did get rid of Donuts.
Yeah. So this is called the Dunkin' Donuts Center. I'm surprised they haven't changed it yet. But we got AJ Styles versus Edge. singles match, Damian Priest is banned from ringside.
I'm going to go with AJ Styles got to get his win back. So I'm going to go with some fucklery will happen. Maybe they'll introduce a new member of the Judgment Day crew that a way to bring somebody new in. AJ gets the pin, but then they beat the living shit out of AJ Styles.
I don't even know if AJ gets the pin, but I'm right there with you. I think this is a way that they can open it up and introduce somebody new. Mm-hmm. And I think that the match gets kind of DQ'd since it's just a singles match with Edge's people. I think it's going to be more than one. I think it might even be two people just with Edge beating the living shit out of AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, because everyone's talking about the Rhea Ripley. But I think they're going to add another dude to the faction.
Yeah, Lord Dojo says Finn will turn on AJ. Could be. Could be. But I think they might want to explore that Bullet Club shit a little more.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they did the Bullet Club sign on Monday. They know they can move some merch on that, so they might explore that.
And they did.
You talk about two guys who are founding members of it. So
right. Well, and not only that,
they have every right to use it.
If Judgment Day comes out there and they have new members, now Bullet Club can grab a third member or form, and you can start building that up. You know what I'm saying? So now you can have Judgment Day versus Bullet Club down the road. So there's definitely potential for growth from this, but. Yeah, I don't even know if this match gets finished. I really don't think it will. I think that this is going to be your segment of the night where it's supposed to be a match and it gets thrown out. So, Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss.
Madcap Moss is on fire. Madcap, how am I supposed? Listen, this dude just did.
Awful, just fucking awful.
His outfit is—I mean, his outfit makes Cross's old outfit look like fucking cool,
right?
Madcap Mart with those shorts and the suspended—I mean, that's just—he's got a—they got to give him a better look than that. They got to give him a better look than that. He's got talent, that dude. Yeah. What's his real name, by the way? Madcap Moss's real name?
Chloe Christmas.
No, his name. What is it? Basil Fomine. What's his name? Little Jack Little. What's his real name?
Hey, little Jack, little.
I took that from the honeymoon. It's when Ralph Crampton was naming fans that people he'd go see perform, and he named little Jack Little. I'm like, that's an awesome name, though, by the way. Little Jack Little.
Michael Rallis. Anyway. Carter Rallis, that's his name.
No, but what was he had the name before that, before he was Madcap Moss.
Oh.
Trevor Bareback, what was his name?
Trevor, what? Bareback? Trevor Bareback.
Guys, you have no idea how frustrating it is to be live on a podcast and forget that shit.
Riddick Moss.
Riddick Moss, thank you. Yeah. Riddick Moss, Trevor Bareback, that's a boxer.
Trevor Bareback.
Mitch Blood awful. Green. But Riddick Moss has some talent. The main point was Riddick Moss has some talent. They got to get him out of those shorts and suspenders. It's a ridiculous look. Again, if you thought Cross's look was ridiculous, that Gladiator, this is 10 times worse because this guy's got talent. I'll put him over. Corbin, I don't know why they're still high on him. I know they won't cut him. WWE seems to love Baron Corbin, so he's not done. People say he's done. I don't think he's done.
No.
But I'm going to go with Madcap Moss. They got to put over. They need another babyface to be elevated.
I just don't see anything coming from this. Madcap Moss might be talented, but he's not really showcasing it. There's just nothing from this entire angle, this entire gimmick, this feud, whatever. This is such a piss break, man.
It is probably a piss break match. It is probably.
Absolutely. Bobby Lashley versus Omos with MVP singles match.
He beat Omos at the last pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Omos getting a clean victory.
I think so. Clean? You don't think MVP is going to get involved? I think MVP is going to fuck with Bobby Lashley for sure. I mean, Jesus Christ.
No, but like I'm saying, just like a clean pin right in the ring. Like,
Right.
Like a decisive victory to elevate Omos. So otherwise, why are they doing this?
No, totally. And especially with the antagonism that MVP's been starting with Bobby Lashley. Yeah, absolutely. Omos has to win it. Omos has to establish himself. Do you think that Shelton might come out? Because, I mean, they already had Cedric this week, which was pretty cool to see him go out there against Bobby Lashley. It'd be nice to see that, you know, Shelton and Cedric kind of team up with MVP and make a new Hurt Business.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, why not? If especially if they keep plan on keeping them around, unless, like you said before, unless a bus flip comes after this pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
For the main roster.
Right.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro versus the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and the Usos, six-man tag team match.
For once, Roman could afford to lose because it's a six-man and one of his cousins could take the pin. Right. So it's too much to have Roman win all the time in everything he does. As a single, as a champion, that's different. In this, it can allow Roman to have a defeat.
Right.
You know, so I think I'm going to go with the faces on this one, RK-Bro and McIntyre.
Totally feel like it. I think that they're also trying to build up Drew again. I think they've left enough stink behind him. Drew's kind of been not in the forefront, so he's had a little time to refresh himself. I think Drew's kind of they're ramping him up again for this summer to see what Drew can do. Randy Orton and Riddle are still on fire. The Usos and the Bloodline with Roman Reigns is still on fire. So, yeah, this will be a fun match. It'll be exciting. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think the babyfaces are definitely going to win on this one. Cody Rhodes versus Seth freaking Rollins in a singles match.
I think, and just to shoot it down, but you know you're going to hear it, and it's going to be annoying. But I think Cody will suffer his first loss, and it's not a big deal if he does because it's fucking Seth Rollins. For him to pin Seth again, I mean, Seth's still in the mix. Seth is still in the mix. I think for him to take two pins on two pay-per-views from Cody Rhodes is too much. Unless they do a fuck finish, double DQ, someone comes out, someone jumps one of the other guys. It's a bullshit pay-per-view, so they can afford to do a fuck finish.
Right.
You know? But if there is a pinfall, it's Rollins pinning Cody. I just don't see Seth like being like he's in the prime of his career and saying, yeah, we got to build up Cody. He's still trying to get to that end game too. You understand what I'm saying, Mish?
I think Seth can afford a couple losses.
Another pin by Cody at another pay-per-view?
I really do. I really think that Seth can deal with that. Like, that's not going to hurt Seth. Seth's character is so ambiguous at this point anyways.
That is true. I mean, it seems like he is kind of like a team player. And maybe he's very unselfish behind the scenes and maybe figures there's a means to an end to keep putting Cody over.
But even
Even
his character work doesn't feel like a guy that cares about wins and losses. Like, I mean, even though he's out there stating it, the lackadaisical direction of his character and the laughter and the not, you know, just he doesn't feel like a character that's going to be devastated by losing to Cody again. You know, I think
yeah, as you far might be as, right. You might be right. So yeah, I'll change my mind on that then. Okay, I'll probably go with your way.
I really do feel more. Like Cody is going to be destined for gold, man. I really do.
I do too. I think he's gonna how he gets it, whether Roman gives up the title and doesn't have to eat a pin by Cody, or they do a tournament. Roman's like, yeah, throws the belt in the middle, and I don't want this anymore. I'm just a Universal Champion.
Yeah.
They could do a series of stuff. And then Cody fights for it in a you know a tournament style, all the way Savage won the belt in the 80s. Who knows? But I think you're right. I think Cody is a top player and one of the top baby faces and best chance to get the belt as a good guy.
Yeah, still well connected with the fans too. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey. I quit for the Women's SmackDown Championship.
I'm not into this match at all. I'm not feeling Ronda that much anymore. I was big on her when she first came back in the Royal Rumble. Not anymore. I don't feel she's added anything to the show. She's kind of, you know, half-assing it, in my opinion. I'm more for Charlotte. I'm not a hater of Charlotte like a lot of people are. You aren't either, right? You don't hate Charlotte.
No,
right?
I like Charlotte a lot.
Yeah, I like Charlotte. I think she gets a bum rap, especially out of our fellow podcasters just seem to not like her.
Right.
I'm going to go with Charlotte because I'm just not feeling Ronda Rousey. I want to like her. I like Ronda's first run. I'm not liking this second run.
It feels it's too choreographed. The direction of her character feels very scripted. Not saying that Ronda was ever lighting the world on fire behind a microphone, because that's not the case either. No. But it just feels like everything is going in the wrong direction. Charlotte doesn't even feel like she's at the top of her game.
No, she doesn't. They don't feel like two top performers. When I even watch them fight, I just feel like this is a feud that needs to end.
And that's the weird thing, too, is because clearly they came from a place not that long ago where they were fucking killing each other out there and lighting the world up on fire. I loved their matches in the heyday in Ronda's first run. This time around, I don't know, man. I mean, there's rumors that, what is it, Shayna's going to be gone. She's part of the bus flip, you know?
It's it could be. Well, Dr. Chunk is saying two perfect words, very manufactured. That's what it's. Yeah. It is a very manufactured feud. That's perfect way to describe it.
Absolutely. I think they've just handled Ronda's return poorly all the way around. I really do. I think that they've done the wrong thing. Ronda should not have come in as the super baby face. She came in looking like fucking Undertaker's bride. She should have been out there as a heel from day one, from the Royal Rumble and up.
Yeah, you know? But the thing is, Charlotte doesn't make a good baby face either. That's the problem, you know?
But it's not that crazy to have two heels. See, that's what always bothered me. Like, two baby faces going at it. It's like people like to see two baby faces going at it because it's like, oh, who do we cheer for? The one that we like the most, blah, right. blah, blah. But in reality, two heels make more sense than two baby faces.
Sure.
Two absolutely. Goal-minded people that have no problems crushing everyone around them to get the fucking belt makes more sense than two guys that can just talk it out. We can just talk it out, guys. We're baby faces. That's what we do. And it's like two heels that are willing to rip and claw and cheat and fucking lie for every single moment, every single inch that they can get closer to the title makes more sense to me as a fan to see a match like that than two baby faces. So the idea of having Charlotte Flair as a heel and Ronda Rousey as a heel would make perfect sense. These are two alpha females. What do you want them to do? Oh, no, I'm sorry. You go ahead. I'll open the door for you, Ronda. Jesus Christ. The misdirection of what fans sometimes think is best for wrestling makes no sense. Or even what WWE sometimes thinks just makes no fucking sense. Ronda Rousey is literally a badass. That's her paint. Whether you like her or hate her, it doesn't matter. It dismisses it. Her character from UFC going into WWE has always been this singular gold badass. And same with Charlotte Flair. Her whole shit is about being top of the world. Top of the world, ma. I'm the nature girl. You know, it doesn't make sense to not have to have, oh, when she's the good girl and she's defending truth and justice in the American way. And then there's evil Charlotte. It's like, ugh. Fuck.
I think the WWE just has this thing where they want someone to get the rousing cheers and stuff, and they want to define who you should be cheering for, who you shouldn't, and they want to sell merch, and they have that old kind of outdated thing of, oh, well, heels are not going to sell. But didn't Austin take that bloom off the rose and sold shirts in 97 before he even turned babyface officially? He was selling Austin 316 shirts up the wazoo.
Even more recently, Alexa Bliss, who's been
NWO a heel. NWO was a heel faction. They sold millions of shirts.
But what I'm saying is even in the company right now, Alexa Bliss, who's a heel, who's been a heel this whole time, is still what, number two on the charts?
Yeah, she's still a top five merch seller. There's just something, again, the disconnect from the shock callers in the back to how things should go. And then almost knowing that they're probably wrong, but they do it anyway. And that's Vince and Bruce, man. They're never going to change.
That's so wild, too. Because you know what? It doesn't make sense to Vince's character. It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, you think about Vince, right? What are all the things that we know about Vince? He's totally a fucking alpha male, you know, testosterone-fueled guy. Like, he's a man's man. And what the fuck kind of man's man doesn't want to see two individual alphas go into a ring and try to rip each other to shit? You know, like,
because they still go by the old adage that there has to be a good guy and there has to be a bad guy when something big is on the line. You know,
that's the way they sometimes look at it. Like that story works. Obviously, that's the story that's worked for wrestling for years. But I don't know if it should always be the same story, though.
Right? No.
Nope. You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
But I think that gets ready to wrap it up, Kev. I know that there's going to be an episode of Castle and Chicky coming up soon once I'm finished.
Oh, yes. Brand new episode. It's our anniversary episode, 1 year anniversary. 52 episodes we completed. They said we wouldn't last five. We lasted 52. So fuck them all.
There you go, bud.
Got into some of our past episodes. And we did, for the first time, we did a show that was majority listener questions. So that was fun. That was the first time we ever did it on the show live. So that was a lot of fun. And next week is Chicky's big 4-0 birthday show.
Oh, man.
For the Chickster. Yeah, turning 40.
She's turning 38?
She's embraced it. She's embraced the 4-0. I'm not telling tales out of school here. So, it's our birthday episode next week. Her birthday is this Saturday, but obviously we do the recording
on
the show. We wanted to separate the anniversary show and the birthday show.
Right.
But it's kind of cool to do two big theme shows back-to-back. And, get everybody interested in it. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was fun to answer questions. And some of you guys, even in the chat here, or some of the questions we answered would support that show, too. So thank you to everybody who listens to it. And looking forward to season two, Mish, of the Castle and Chicky show.
Hey, you know what? And that's a great question that Lord Dojo brings up, because this is something I wanted to ask you, too, especially after our conversation last week. Do you think it would be possible for you and Chicky to do shows live here on the Wrestling Soup Discord?
I could probably talk her into it.
I mean, I would just assume, like, people would love to hear these shows live. And I know you guys do them kind of randomly on Mondays at different times, but yeah, that door would always be open for you guys.
No, it wouldn't be a Patreon only show.
No.
Lord was asking if it was Patreon only. No.
Yeah, no, because right now it's all pre-recorded, and then I usually edit it up, clean up the audio and stuff like that, and we put it up on Wednesday. Usually goes live Monday afternoons-ish. Monday afternoon-ish.
Yeah, well, usually it's Monday 3 o'clock. Usually Monday 3 o'clock here in New York.
Right.
Yeah.
But you could basically do what you do with the Kevin Trez show. You could just record it.
Absolutely.
And then send me the audio.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. And a shout-out to Trez, who's in Puerto Rico on her honeymoon. Her second honeymoon. Because, the original, they weren't able to travel because of
COVID.
They're out in Puerto Rico posting some fun pictures, making the rounds, the touristy thing.
Oh, shit.
Her husband was posting before, pretty funny. So, yeah, shout out to Trez, too. So, that'll be great. I'll talk to Chicky about that. And if you guys want to see it, some of you guys on here are saying do it. We'll do that. And it'll be fun. Definitely a new thing to explore and help get the word out even more.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be great. And I'll definitely run that by him.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, with that said, and if you guys didn't check out the feed currently, I don't know if anybody listening checked it out or not. I did a 7-minute segment of a quick recap of Raw. It was a tester of me running down Raw in basically 6 minutes. And I think it got kind of like a positive response. I think a lot of people liked it.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. I thought it was, and you really covered it well. It was almost like, you kind of said it was kind of an off the cuff kind of thing that you did, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
It flowed very nicely. And you managed to really, because I watched the whole show. And when I listened to your, 7 minutes of it or whatever, it really covered everything, and you really didn't miss anything where I said, you kind of left out a whole segment. You covered everything in that. It was like I felt like I was back in high school buying Cliff Notes books. It was great. So that's the way I got through my junior year, by the way.
Well, you know what it was? It's like, and I know you can appreciate this, old sports radio where they would do the rundown of the game and stuff like that in like 3 minutes or 4 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I literally just did the same thing for Raw. Now, people are saying that maybe I should make it 10 minutes total. I think I might do that. I think it might be under 10 minutes, so it would probably mean that I could stretch it out a couple more minutes, add in a couple more, expletives.
I mean, seriously, listen, a lot of guys, and no offense to anybody who does the recaps, and a lot of our brethren, do the recaps from JD to everybody. That's their thing, and they stretch it out and stuff. But I think this is an OG original concept. And, I haven't seen anybody do this before, so this is kind of a unique thing, and it could be kind of a niche thing to do.
Yeah.
And because a lot of people do not have time. Listen, a lot of people like to tune into the whole, they listen to the weekly soup shows and whatever, and there's topics to discuss,
whether it's
Sunny or whatever. The pay-per-view recaps, you want to hear from Soup to Nuts, especially WrestleMania, you want to know about the whole thing. But let's be honest, Monday Night Raw is not what it used to be, and that's, come on. I mean, that's really? And some people don't have the time or the inclination to want to listen to 2 hours of that stretched out on a podcast. So I like the whole, and you're not cramming it in where you're kind of like, let me go backwards. I didn't even hear what Mitch said about that. Like, I thought it flowed really good. Yeah. I'm not even shining it on for you here on the air. I was surprised how good it was because you were like, it's a test pattern thing.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, this sounds totally well, like, sounds like you had this in the pocket, like, idea for a while, you know, because it came out really good.
I did a tester, an initial tester about 4 years ago, 5 years ago for Backlash on the Wrestling Soup YouTube channel from like way back in the day, which is very similar to what I did now. But this is essentially what I did on radio. Like this is, I mean, people are looking at it as like a recap and stuff like that. But the reality is this is just one giant commercial. That's true.
It is actually very it's very old school radio type of thing.
Yeah.
Breaking down stuff because you have only a limited amount of time. That's actually, but the way it flowed, like I said, you covered everything. You didn't like, because let's be honest, people are probably looking at that, go, well, he probably didn't talk about half the show.
Well, why would you think that?
But you did. You got 6 minutes.
6 minutes. You're like, oh, he's not going to cover shit in 6 minutes.
No, that's what I'm saying. I watched the show and I listened to you because I was even saying in my mind, there's got to be things he left out if it's 6 minutes.
Right.
And you pretty much covered everything. There wasn't anything that you left out.
Thank you, dude.
It flowed up, but you weren't playing to beat the clock with yourself. Like you were. You were able to do it without saying, shit, I have to do that over again. I can't get it all in 6 minutes.
Right.
Were you able to get it to flow that way from the first take?
Well, so here's the trick is, I mean, I basically write what I see and I crush it down into a sentence or two. And if it deserves a full sentence or not, like obviously some segments like, you know, the Dewdrop and Lexi. Are fucking, oh my God, why am I blanking on her name all of a sudden? Jesus Christ. Superhero. What the fuck is her name?
Oh, Nikki.
Nikki. Jesus Christ.
Nikki Ash.
Yeah.
Nikki Ash.
Like, I just literally threw that in as like half a sentence. And that's all it deserved. It's like, sometimes I think that people review things and they just like really stretch it out and talk about all the fucking nuances about it. Matter of fact, dude, I know this is going to come off really weird, but I think this might help podcasts. This might help other podcasts that aren't Wrestling Soup. Because how difficult is it for people to just catch up with what different shows are even talking about? You know what I mean? Without knowing what happened on Raw. And I know that a lot of people that listen to our show, that have listened to our show for years, always tell us the same thing, Kev. Hey, sometimes I just don't even watch wrestling. I just listen to you guys talk. Sometimes
the recap, oh, let's be honest, a lot of our brethren will stretch it out, almost like the way in my business, in the club business, when ownership will say to me, let the band play even longer.
Right, like,
more, what? Yeah, stretch out the night. Like, you know, the bar's doing good. Let them play.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So like in my sound man will be like, we're going. I'm like, we're going.
Yeah.
And it'll go like another 45. So like stretching things out is usually for monetary gain. Let's be honest, some podcasters who depend on the recap will do the same thing, do a 2.5 hour show, super chat money, this and that coming through. I mean, there is a method to the madness.
Sure.
Me and Mish would be lying to you guys if we didn't say, but I like the fact, but also there is something to originality and doing things differently and carving your own niche. And I think that's also something that'll separate Wrestling Soup from the pack, which is always, to me, the best thing is to be original and unique.
Well,
you know, like you said, it's an old idea, but
it
hasn't been done with what we're doing.
No. And I'm glad you're here with us, too.
Dude, I love it. It's great. Perfect.
We'll get we got to get some. I honestly think when Trez comes back, we got to do a show together. All three.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. When she comes back. Yeah.
Well, obviously not now. She's probably a little busy now in Puerto Rico.
She's busy having fun.
Yeah. Unlike doing the show with Mish and Kev, you know.
So she won't be. So I might as well tell people she won't be on with me this Thursday because she's on vacation. So.
Yeah.
K&T will be solo again, but she'll be back soon.
We got Drew Yari's show. We got the Alleged Wrestling Podcast Boys. We got Yuck and Dogger on Getting the Corner. All these shows, make sure to check them out. New episodes up on the Wrestling Soup Network. Make sure to subscribe to our Patreon. And we got more goodies coming your way. So see you guys tomorrow for Wrestling Soup with myself and Joe. And I'm going to be doing Friday Night SmackDown. So right now I'm going to work on Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown on the recaps. I've already gotten a couple people saying, are you going to do this for Dynamite? Well, if they start adding 6 shows, no.
That's true. I guess you could do it for just Dynamite, though.
Yeah, I could do it for Dynamite. I could also do it for NXT. So it's like, do I go down the WWE route and just do it for Raw, SmackDown, and NXT? Or do I do it for Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, Dark Elevator, ROH Show.
You might have painted yourself into a corner, buddy. With unique ideas comes the stress of keeping it up.
AEW right? Sucking cock.
Keeping it up. You know, when the legend starts blowing up, you gotta keep the legend going. You could cover suck a cock probably in 6 minutes.
Suck a cock.
I've known some people, some women who could.
I could probably do that show. Never mind. In 1 minute.
Oh my god!
All right, everybody, much love. We're out of here.
Thanks, guys. Peace.
Wrestling Soup. Hey, would like to thank you for listening to tonight's show.
That's right.
But to those of you that hate us, we know who.
Yeah, we know you.
There's one thing you can do. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Go
that's
fuck
right.
yourself.
Screw you. Yeah, screw you. You and you and screw you. Hey, man, you're cool. But screw this motherfucker.
Screw you.
Yeah, screw you. Screw you. I didn't forget about you, motherfucker. Yeah, you can go fuck yourself. Aw, man, we kidding, right? For real. We love you, motherfuckers.